Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Welcome in, everybody. Zach Jones, Josh Mitt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We've already had to scrap some plans with the Sabres beginning training camp today. We were originally planning on talking to Mark Long of the AP about the Jacksonville Jaguars at 11 o'clock. We've scrapped that. We are planning on taking Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff live with the media following practice today. He's expected to speak around 10:45, could, though, push into the 11 o'clock hour. We will see on that, but we will be taking him live here as, of course, you've probably seen the news on Twitter, but if you have not, Josh, what, 5 minutes into practice?
Literally 5 minutes into
practice. Rasmus Dahlin, first guy out there, ultimately ends up leaving early. No one really knows what's going on, and then the Sabres did announce that he will not return to practice and that they will have more later on when Ruff does speak with the media. So, of course, we are going to be taking that live. Made a few jokes. Was hoping it was nothing. And now it's a little worrying. I mean, you're 5 minutes into camp. And that's not even the only thing that kind of caused some concern. Peyton Krebs hits Tage Thompson, and he's laboring. And you're
just like, it sounds like that one was just kind of like a got the wind knocked out of you, welcome back to practice kind of thing.
But you see the tweet, and you're like, we are 10 minutes in.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, it's just one of those things where it's like, what happened? Where is this? Why does this happen? You know, and we don't know the extent of what's going on with Dahlin. We'll find out more from head coach Lindy Ruff in a little while after practice. But my vibes, honestly, were like through the roof. It hit me yesterday a little bit. And this morning when Adams was talking, and then when Paul came on with Joe, and you can hear the background noise. You hear Lindy yelling in the background. And I'm like,
yeah,
this is great. Hockey's back. It feels so good. Like, we're here. And it's just immediately destroyed as soon as the Dahlin news comes out of him leaving practice. And then it was like, all right, well, hey, maybe, you know, maybe there was an equipment issue. Maybe he'll be back in a few minutes, whatever. 10, 15 minutes goes by, and it's like, well, he's not back yet. Where'd he go?
Yeah.
And then, you know, obviously, our own Paul Hamilton tweeting out that he won't return to practice. That's not good news. It's not great, but you don't know the extent of it yet. So it's still a little up in the air. But fingers crossed, and have to wait and see.
It's the wait and see period now, which is awful.
Right.
I mean, because it could be something where he's just going to be day-to-day. You know, tweak something. He's day-to-day.
Yeah.
We'll maybe hold him back to going to Europe or what have you.
Listen, though, I this is where we talk about this. This comes up every year around this time. Football injury reports are so good because you get down to the minute detail of what is happening and how long they will be out or expected to be out. In hockey, you get upper body or lower body.
They're very vague.
Yeah, and it's just,
it's my favorite.
It's just, yep, lower body, day-to-day. Cool. What does that mean? That tells me nothing. So I'm not really looking forward to that designation. I'm almost looking forward to just how does Lindy talk about it? How does the team talk about it? Because if they're talking about it in a way of like, yeah, you know, he's just out for today. You know, he'll be fine. Then it's like, okay. But if there's like this kind of weight in their voice a little bit, if you want to call it like a different type of feeling, then it's like, okay, well, the vibe does not feel good in terms of that. So we'll have to wait and see. I don't want to jump to any conclusions here, but it's, you know, it's just not great timing to have it happen, you know, 5 minutes into the first practice, especially too on the rush timetable of you're going to Europe in a week. And
I mean, didn't
preseason starts on Saturday?
And Sabres GM Kevin Adams, he spoke earlier today with the media before practice started, mm-hmm. and kind of even, you know, put an emphasis on that this is going to be kind of an accelerated
right.
bit. Paul, we talked to him yesterday. He said kind of the same thing. This is a weird training camp.
Well, and the way Adams put it was basically this is when the season starts. It's not the start of training camp. It's mm-hmm. the start of the season, because you have to have an accelerated tempo in terms of getting these guys ready to play games on Saturday and Sunday. And then also Tuesday, mm-hmm. you have three games in 4 days. So along with a trip to Europe where you'll be playing an exhibition game against a team in Germany. And then the start of the regular season. So it's all very boom, 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 quick. Like it's yep. the first game is on October 4th, which is 2 weeks from Friday.
Yeah.
It's 16 days away.
It's incredibly, incredibly fast turnaround.
So you have to be ready.
So that's the thing. So like any injury, though, is somewhat of a cause for concern.
Right.
Because it is not, I mean, we joke about it a lot. I mean, you've talked about it a lot off air as well. Just like the NFL NFL training camp preseason schedule takes forever.
Right. And then once you get there, it's finally, boom, there it is.
Yeah. And it's quote unquote takes forever. It's not the longest period of the offseason.
Feels like it, though.
It feels like it. And then the preseason games, you're like, oh my goodness, can we hurry this up?
Well, it's like
Sabres, you're like, what do you mean we have a preseason game tomorrow? Like, it's that feeling.
But it is, if you think about it, I mean, with football, it's like a month and a half of training camp and preseason. So it's not, I mean, hockey is 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, like, you know, there's different restrictions on practicing and things like that. Like, players can practice together and stuff. And obviously, they can in football, too, but it's a little just different. But, I mean, I feel like I saw videos all summer of, like, you know, Dylan Cousins and Owen Power skating together and things like that. But, and you have the prospects, obviously, too, where that's basically their version of mini camp
mm-hmm.
and all that. But it's all so much closer together because you had the prospects challenge last week, and now you have training camp right now. And everything else going on as well. So it just feels faster because it's all closer together. In reality, it's about the same time span, but football's just more spread out.
Yeah.
It's hard because like this Dahlin news, it's not great. And if you're just tuning in, Rasmus Dahlin left practice 5 minutes into practice or around that and did not return or will not return. No other news on that yet in terms of why or what happened or whatever. But everything else from practice so far has looked intriguing. Devin Levi has a cool set of pads. I mean, I'm looking at a video right now of him making some saves in these like old school brown pads. That looks pretty sweet.
It's ugly. It's fine.
Stop. No. you don't appreciate old goaltending.
Does anybody?
I do. Those guys used to stand in front of it with no mask, barely any pads.
150 yards outside of the crease.
Exactly. So you're getting to the puck faster. The velocity is higher.
Getting to the puck faster.
Aside from that.
As 10 goals get passed in the second period.
Hey, listen. Anyway, there's also videos of all these players kind of adjusting to these Lindy Ruff practices. There's guys in the corner just like
laboring.
Yeah. Like, not because they got hit by Peyton Krebs, but because you're skating a lot. And there's videos of Lindy like pulling the team in and like, hey, you didn't do this right. Hey, you didn't do that right. And obviously you get that with every coach and every team. But last year, with the way that people were talking about practice and the way Casey Mittelstadt talked about practice after he left mm-hmm, the team, mm-hmm. it just feels like that part of it is different because you have more energy, you have more alertness. I don't know what the word would, or urgency. There's the
yeah,
word.
Yeah, urgency is probably a good way to put
it. I couldn't think of the word there, but yeah, you have the urgency there, and it just feels different in that way. Then you also have the new Jumbotron. Thing looks sweet.
Which, I guess.
Looks pretty cool. Like, they had, like, they were practicing, like, they were checking out, like, the, they're going to have on the corners, mm-hmm. like, the time of the player on the ice, like, the shift times.
Yeah.
And, like, it's cool because it's, like, completely wrapped. So it's all one mm-hmm. big screen. There's no breaks in it. And I don't know. I just like the way it looks. It looks cool. It's big and it's new. It's a fun new thing.
Again, it's going to be one of those things that eventually, when I go and they play the little pump up right before, I'm going to get goosebumps. I'm going to get a little emotional. Every time.
Think about it. With the new screen, how it's all continuous, you could have like a wrap. You know how they have the buffalo?
Yep.
When the players come out, they have the buffaloes running across the screen. They could just run in a circle around that Jumbotron.
That would be so kind of cool.
Aside from that, though, that's not obviously the full reason to be excited about practice. The practice is here.
And already having so much fun.
Right.
So I had a little bit of fun, though, before we jumped on air. I am a nerd. Most people do know this. I am, of course, a jock, athlete, what have you. We talk in sports radio, obviously. But my second passion is nerdom. I'm a huge fantasy sci-fi guy, the whole thing. And that does mean I'm a massive A Song of Ice and Fire, Game of Thrones fan, the author being George R. R. Martin. I've been feeling this way, Josh, for a while. And now finally was today the day that I'm like, we're going to run with this. I'm going to piece together as much as I can in terms of similarities between the Buffalo Sabres organization and A Song of Ice and Fire, Game of Thrones creator, George R. R. Martin. I did not realize how alarmingly similar they were. So let's begin. And this is going to be real quick. It's more something to have fun, you know, bring some levity to what could be a long day for a lot of us, especially, you know, there was excitement for the season to start, and that could turn very quickly. Their first years, the Sabres, of course, is 1970. George R. R. Martin's first published work, that being The Hero, was a short story in 1971. Peak years. This is arguable. I'm already having this conversation with somebody on Twitter. For the Sabres, it is the late 90s, early 2000s. If you just go to the late 90s for the Buffalo Sabres, it is a number of conference finals, Stanley Cup finals, semifinals. They have a Hart Trophy winner twice in the goaltending position. That's just the 90s.
The 90s only had one Stanley Cup final, the 99 final.
Yeah. Did I say multiple?
You said multiple, but it was only one.
Multiple conference
finals. But still.
A cup final.
Yeah.
A number of years. They were not being stood up in the playoffs in the 70s and 80s like they were for years, where they were losing in the preliminary round constantly. You also have two Hart Trophy wins with Dominic Hasek. You do have bad years, don't get me wrong, in the true early 2000s. And then you pop off in the 06-07 or 05-06, 06-07 to, for many fans, their favorite years. They came out of nowhere. They were lightning fast. They scored a lot and arguably should have won a Stanley Cup in there. They do win the President's Trophy, though, and, of course, do make a cup final or a conference final as well. For Martin, peak years, which is the A Song of Ice and Fire publishing, the late 90s and early 2000s. Three of the five books are published in a four-year run from 96 to 2000. Then he also publishes in 05 and then 11. But that's also, I think, a big point of similarities between the two, which is a weird run in the early 2000s where they weren't doing anything. Sabres were missing the playoffs. They had fears of relocation.
They also lost Chris Drury and Danny Briere.
Yep. Where with Martin, he goes from 2000, he publishes A Storm of Swords, to 05, he publishes A Feast for Crows. He has to cut a main plot point that he had planned from the beginning in like the 80s when he was designing this, which was the five-year gap. There was supposed to be for those that watch the show and don't read the books, think of it after season four, there was supposed to be a five-year time jump that is completely cut. And then that's where we get the last two books that have been published, A Feast for Crows in 05 and Dance with Dragons in 2011. Notice the 2011 thing. Their last actual kind of signs of relevancy, 2011. Martin begins A Game of Thrones with HBO and also publishes A Dance with Dragons, his last main book in A Song of Ice and Fire. Do not give me Fire and Blood. That was co-written. It's not even that good. And that was years after. And it was mainly just due to his publishers being like, dude, we need to put something out while Game of Thrones is on the air. And then for the Sabres, it, of course, is their last playoff appearance, 2011. They are literally months apart. Martin publishes that in, I believe, the spring of 2011. The Sabres are late winter, early spring for their final playoff appearance.
Well, it would be spring.
It'd be spring. I think his was spring into summer because I think Game of Thrones started in July. Then we have the first experiences of false hope. For the Sabres, of course, after 2011, it began the tank. They lose the draft lottery, but are getting American superstar Jack Eichel out of Boston. He is drafted in 2015. Martin's first missed deadlines for Winds of Winter, the book we are all still waiting for, 2016. They are step for step for step with each other, and it's making me uncomfortable.
I'm going to need a thesis on this from you.
I'm going to write one.
Write a paper.
I'm going to write one, I think. It's alarmingly similar how, again, they're not one for one, but they're steps
very,
with each other.
Like, it's very close.
Especially, I mean, there's been other signs of false hope. The 10-game win streak for the Sabres, Martin getting positive on his blog. Him saying he's written chapters during COVID. The Sabres, you know, almost making the playoffs 2 years ago.
Right. Almost making the playoffs during the COVID bubble when they were one yep. point out. Almost making the playoffs 2 years ago when they're 1 point out.
Yep.
Like,
even if we want crazy. To, last, like, you know, this time last year, we were all really excited for the Sabres.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, they're a high-flying team. They're young. They're fun. Let's go. This is big. Just a few months ago for Martin, new covers are being released for the first time since 2011 when he published the latest book, so everyone's getting excited. And nope, nothing. And then for here, it was kind of the same thing for the Sabres. A lot of excitement, a lot of excitement. And, oh, they can't win two games in a row for like 6 months. They're the same thing. One is an inanimate object. It is a sports franchise. The other is a person, but they are the same thing. He was even born in the Northeast. I think he's from New Jersey. Give me 1 second. I gotta make sure of this. I think he was born in New Jersey. He was born in New Jersey.
Wow.
They're the same
Look
thing.
At that.
The same thing. The only difference is Martin was born in 1948. Obviously, the Sabres were born in 1970.
Yeah.
But hockey itself was around in the 1940s, so I'm counting it. Because I'm selfish. They're the same thing. False sense of security. Fans get very excited at the littlest... And I'm not. This is not a judgment. Again, I'm part of the Song of Ice and Fire fandom. Fans get super excited at a single, minuscule amount of excitement and hope. Whether that be Jeff Skinner's 40-goal season, J.J. Paterka, Jack Quinn, the prospects, Devin Levi, Tage Thompson emerging. It's all there, man. It is the same thing. And with that being said, I am not confident going into the season now.
I was trying so hard to find out if the Sabres founders, the Knox brothers, if they were also born in 1948. They were not. They were born in 1928.
I will say, though, one positive thing for Sabres fans. The Sabres, I believe, are actively trying to make the playoffs. Martin has not written a word since 2016. That, I will die on that hill. He finished the book. It was bad. Scrapped it. Hasn't worked since. He has not written a word. Josh, he goes on his blog post. This is going to be a book that's about 1,300 pages long. War and Peace type size,
Whoa.
Okay? Get ready for this.
Whoa.
And when he says he's working on it, his latest blog post went, I'm working on pages and pages. Interesting. Pages and pages. George, it's going to be 1,300 pages long. The Sabres at least are like, look, we're signing people. We're making trades. We got a little close. We fired a coach. It's the same thing. But I'm not feeling good now. I'm not feeling good. Now that I've like dove into this, and I'm going to do more of this once we're off the air as well. Now that I've dove into this, I'm not feeling as confident as I was going into this year of like, ooh, it's the year where no one really expects anything. Look at the Bills. The Bills this year is arguably kind of the same idea. You know, you had a year, you had a good run. Now it's a year of transition. So what's this year going to be? Nah, you know, maybe they'll make the playoffs, but you don't really think they're going to be all that good. You know, well, they don't have a number one wide receiver. How are they going to keep up with some of the offenses in the NFL? Well, the early signs are no one's really passing the ball that much. And it's running the ball more, which has been the success in the NFL. And now the Bills are 2-0. They're taking on a bad Jaguars team and a Ravens team, which I said on the nightcap last night, if they don't beat Dallas, may already be looking at their season in the face going, well, this was fun, we're done.
Which would be really, really bad.
So,
I mean, they went out and got Derrick Henry and were trying to...
For what that's worth.
Well, right, but it looked like you were trying to, you know, maybe
keep it
make
alive.
It, yeah, trying to keep it going, and it's just, for them, it's just, for the Ravens... If you lose to Dallas, it's not working out because Dallas itself has problems.
But you're in Dallas. They just had a 16-game win streak. It was demolished by New Orleans. Don't get me wrong, but they are very good at playing at home for the most part. But, you know, that's going to be a big thing. But so ultimately, the vibes for the Bills, I mean, and heck, going into Monday night, I mean, if they do beat Jacksonville, go to 3-0 alone, that will change a lot of, I think, of people's opinions on the Bills if you went in negative. Or if you went in kind of thinking this team is not going to be good, it'll be like, oh, well, now wait a second. They're 3-0. They're playing really well. They've scored 30-plus points in each of the last two games, or to the two games to start the year. You feel good. For the Sabres, I was kind of having the same thought of like, yeah, I went with him with a lot of expectations last year, and I only left disappointed. I mean, I've mentioned how you know, the fun year, I went to like 9-10 games. I like anytime there was a Saturday game where I'm like, ooh, I'm not working, I want to go. I need to go because a lot of times it's tough for me to make it. I work the pregame here in during the weekdays. So basically any like weekend game at home I was trying to get to. Last year, very quickly, I was like, I'm out. This team is only making me sad and upset. I'm not doing this. And it kind of felt like it was going to be those moments where, you know, it's darkest before the dawn type deal where all of a sudden this year, and I joke, but like it wouldn't have surprised me that if they started the first 10 games or like 8-2 or, you know, 7-3 or 3 and, you know, what have you. And just you're like, you're good to start and everything looks good and the analytics are liking you and Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is still playing great and all this stuff. And it wouldn't have surprised me because it was just no expectations to, boom, they're exciting. But a potential Rasmus Dahlin injury update that is less than day-to-day. You know, we just want to monitor something. No need to push it. It's first day. He's in shape. It is going to be cause for concern. I think rightfully so. And especially in an organization that is in a 13-year playoff drought, and I think ultimately, Josh, has sort of positioned themselves into a point where, and we've talked back and forth about this, I think they've positioned themselves to a point of, did I think Adams botched the offseason 2 seasons ago? Yes, I do. That was the season where you could have struck the iron when it was hot. Team started to take you more seriously. You had more credibility. You know, Granato was an ascending coach. The team was an ascending group of young players, and they didn't. I'm not saying any other GM would have definitely done it. There's a lot of GMs, I think, in hockey, which is not both – it's not a compliment or a diss, but it is what it is, that would have also tried to just stay the course. There are others, though, that would have gone after it, and I would have liked for Adams to go after it. He didn't. But then after a missed year in which you fired Granato, you had players talking about no accountability, what have you, I think you were putting then in back into the same position you were in. You're back into the corner of – good free agents weren't going to sign with you. And good trade targets had you on their no trade clause. And they weren't going to go to you anyways. Do I think they could have made maybe a move? Sure, Ehlers could have been some guy.
There was names out there.
But there was names.
It's tough because when we were talking about this before the show, like Adams comes in and is essentially working with almost nothing and inherits this bad situation with Jack Eichel, has to try to work his way through that without looking like, you know, just, oh, here's the new guy. Let's try to, you know, make the trade as lopsided as possible. Like, he had a lot to do in his first few months as GM. So, and I think all of that stuff worked out well, but it's just that middle point, right? Mm-hmm. Like, last year and even kind of the year before, it was just kind of this very delicate situation that there's some spots that were good, some spots that were not good, and you know, hopefully this is a step in the right direction in towards the making good decisions and being smart about things. But it's so early on in this new thing of bringing Lindy back and all the players they brought in this season where it's, you know, shoring up that bottom six, which hasn't been there for years. I mean, for years it was Zemgus Girgensons, Kyle Okposo, and insert name here.
Yeah, vibes.
It was, that was your fourth line. It was those two and Vinny Hinostroza or Tyson Jost or Peyton Krebs. And granted, Krebs is still here, but now it looks like he's the 13th forward. And you just signed him to a deal, which still have questions about that. But hey, we'll see what happens there. But as long as, I mean, the philosophy of this management group for the past few years has been banking on the players improving and the young players improving.
And building from
this
within.
This is such a young hockey team.
Still.
The oldest forward on the roster is Jason Zucker.
He's 28?
I think he's older than that. It used to be Alex Tuch, and Alex Tuch is 28.
32.
Okay, yeah. So he's the same age as Skinner, but obviously in a very different role. Zucker is one of those guys coming in just trying to, you know, maybe reestablish himself a little bit. He has had good years in the NHL. He's had moments where he's been a pivotal role on playoff teams in Minnesota, in Pittsburgh, and even at points in Nashville, he was, you know, kind of doing stuff for them. Mm-hmm. But I think that when you look at how young this team is, yes, there's still the, all right, well, we'll see what they develop into. We'll see what Paterka does this year. We'll see if Quinn can come back from injury. We'll see what Benson does in his second year after a great rookie season.
Yeah.
But that's what you were hoping for last year.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you were hoping for with Tage Thompson and Dylan Cousins and Peterka. And Peterka had a great year, don't get me wrong. But he needs to have a better one now. He's replacing Jeff Skinner.
Even Jack Quinn, you want to see have a better year. That's mainly due to injuries.
Right. Yeah. Well,
when he was on the ice, he was
with
awesome.
With Quinn, it's a different story just because you have to kind of ease him back in and hope he doesn't get hurt again.
Mm-hmm.
Then if that happens, you have a little bit more of a problem on your hands of an injury-prone player that has good potential but just can't stay healthy. But with a guy like Peterka, he had such a good season last year, but like I said, now he's replacing Jeff Skinner, who even though the Sabres traded, had a good year last year.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, Skinner's time with the Sabres was up and down in terms of production,
yep.
But overall, he was a very reliable goal scorer and a reliable point getter. And that's what Peterka needs to become now for this team. Tage needs to return to what the 40-goal season, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what he needs. And same with Tuck. Tuck that season with Tage was incredibly good. But those types of players need to start following through with this. And if they wanted that accountability that hopefully Lindy Ruff will bring, then you can expect that. But as Kevin Adams said this morning, if they want accountability, they're going to get it, and they need to back it up.
Early reports now on practice too have been, I mean, he was really harping on going offside in practice.
Yeah. Which
stop,
a lot of
stop drills to bring everyone together.
Yeah, and a lot of
how we're gonna do
reporters
it.
Are like, you know, a lot of the guys that are there and are saying, you know, hey, that's something that we haven't seen in a few years.
I get nervous on hearing that because I heard somewhat similar about Granato. Not on that issue, but it was other things of, you know, haven't seen this in a long time once Granato took over. So I.
Yeah, well, that's fair, but.
The results need to be on the ice.
Right, exactly. You know? It's not that I don't care what goes on in practice, but if it follows through to games, then sure. Whatever they're doing in practice works.
Yep, keep doing it. 803-0550 is the number to call. How are we feeling about the start of the Sabres season? We will hear from Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff with the media coming up later this hour. He's expected to speak around 10:45, could be closer to 11. But after a quick timeout, we will hear from Sal Capaccio, as the Bills do have a game to not play this week, as the weekdays do technically start on Sunday. They play on Monday night hosting the Jacksonville Jaguars, but they will practice today, so we'll get a word from Sal here after a quick timeout. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is W.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
GR.
I think we have a group that is ready to be challenged and pushed. And I reminded them also that yesterday that when you use words like accountability and structure and they're looking for clarity and looking for more competitive, hard practices, they're going to get it. It's one thing to say it, and now we have to back it up and do it.
There's Buffalo Sabres general manager Kevin Adams earlier today with the media. It's been something that I don't want to say interested or worried in, but it's going to be something to keep an eye on. This organization, or the players, after Granato was fired, pretty much all of them talked at locker cleanout about wanting accountability and effectively wanting a tougher coach. You know, we'll see. I was also somebody that really held on to their year prior locker clean-out comments of being, you know, mad that they were not in the playoffs. And, like, legitimately, like, didn't really want to speak with the media. Really upset that they were no longer playing hockey. And then the next year they come out, and apparently at camp, it was just a big old nothing burger. And that I'm very apprehensive with basically everything the Sabres do, because it's just, you've been burned so many times. You're Charlie Brown. You're Charlie Brown in this situation with Lucy. That's what you are.
Who's Lucy?
The organization themselves.
Oh.
And we are Charlie Brown.
And the football is a winning...
Anything positive.
Like, not even winning, just going to the playoffs.
Anything positive that's worth anything. Like, Taylor Hall signing is definitely positive.
Oh, yeah. But,
and then he played hockey for the Buffalo Sabres, and it was anything but.
And that was Lucy pulling away the football.
Exactly. We will hear, though, from Sal Capaccio here in just a few minutes as the Bills are back to practice today. They are getting ready to host the Jacksonville Jaguars for Monday night. And we will now go to the Western Hotline as Sal joins the show. Sal, good morning. How are we doing?
Well, I'm doing well, but I'm just waiting with bated breath with you guys and Lindy Ruff and Paul Hamilton and... You know, what's happening down at the arena with Rasmus Dahlin? I mean, man, that was just, talk about a damper. Let's just hope everything's okay. Maybe it's something personal and you hope nothing bad personal. Maybe not an injury, but holy cow. Like, I'm waiting like everybody else is.
And it's one of those things, too. Like, you can't make it up. We're like 5 minutes into the first day of practice. Vibes are feeling good. Lindy shows up.
Yep.
He's in the Sabres gear. You're like, all right, here we go. And what do you mean Dahlin's off the ice? Where is he? And then eventually we get the news from the Sabres that he won't be returning. It's just, it's just a damper on the mood, too. I mean, we were going to talk with Mark Long at the AP to talk the Jaguars soon. It's like, it's the Sabres now. But, Sal, we do obviously have a Bills game coming up on Monday night against the Jaguars.
Yeah.
Bills going back to practice today, of course, with the week getting a little weird due to them not playing Sunday but Monday night.
Yeah, for sure. So just to set up the week for everybody, it's a normal Wednesday practice. We will not get an injury report, an official one today, because they play Monday night. So that doesn't start till tomorrow. It's based on when you play. So that'll happen after tomorrow's practice. You'll have a Wednesday practice, a Thursday practice, a normal Wednesday here to hear from Sean McDermott. We're going to hear from him at noon, practice at 12:30, and then we'll get Josh Allen and other players after practice, and then practice 12:30 tomorrow. They will be off on Friday. Normally you have that, you know, final tune-up practice of the week on Friday. It's just a very light, quick practice. That'll happen on Saturday this week, and then, you know, Sunday will be basically a day off, and then Monday night will be the game. And, yeah, the team gets back after it. After a nice little mini bye, I guess, here, guys, there really was nothing going on with the team. I'm sure they came in, had some meetings, injury checks, things like that. You know, as far as getting on the field, you know, it's been, 6 days? And, you know, they'll get a chance to kind of get their feet back under them before getting back after it and have a nice 11-day break between games.
Sal, real quick, from yesterday, Tom Pelissero reported the Bills did work out two kickers, Andres Carlson and Cade York. Is that really anything to take from? I know fans have very much been nervous about Tyler Bass, maybe is maybe the best way to put it. He has only that one missed kick, both from the season and then one missed kick in the preseason. He's been good on extra points. But the kick against Miami in a non-pressure situation, if you were worried about Tyler Bass, that's kind of the prime example. You put it in a dictionary of, like, that's why I'm nervous. But, you know, it's weird for me, Sal, too, because then I look at a guy like Justin Tucker, who I know has had the longevity. But him past 50 yards, I think he's 1-for-8 in his last 9 or something along those lines. But is this maybe something to keep an eye on here?
I think it is, because we know Tyler Bass struggled last year, and he had his struggles in training camp this season. He was good in the preseason until the final kick that he missed. The team has shown a lot of faith in him. They've been supportive of every turn. And that's just not words. That's also actions, because they never brought anyone in during training camp, guys, right? There was never another kicker here. Now, there was a punter who could kick a little bit, but there was no competition for Tyler Bass. But then he misses very badly that kick on Thursday night. And then here come two kickers to work out. So a couple things. Number one, this is not abnormal to have positions working out throughout the year. Even when you don't have a need at a position, teams bring guys in because in case something happens 2 weeks from now, a month, 2 months from now, you have a baseline knowledge of people you've brought in where you can say, oh, okay, we saw this guy. We know what he's about. We got him on speed dial. You know, that way it speeds up the process. This is not abnormal to do something like this. You might see quarterbacks work out. It's not like they're replacing Josh Allen because you just want to make sure you're kind of buttoned up in case something were to happen to one of your quarterbacks. So this could happen here with kicker as well. That said, I don't think it's a coincidence this is happening now with Tyler Bass's struggles. You don't have to bring in people. You're not necessarily bringing them in every week at all these positions. So given his struggles, given the fact that it goes back a little bit to last year into the preseason and then Thursday night, and then they do this, I do think it's something to monitor.
Well, Sal, I know it's still 5 days away, but Jaguars, the Bills have had issues with them over the past few years. I mean, what do you think it's going to take for them to just kind of get over the hump this time and see a better game out of them? I mean, like I said, it's been kind of weird games in the past few years between the Bills and the Jaguars.
They have, and listen, I'm not one that puts a lot of stock into the historical significance of these games. I would for like the Bills and Dolphins a little more because they're division rivals. They play each other twice a year. It's been Tua for the last several years and Josh Allen for a while. Here in Jacksonville, yes, they did beat him with Trevor Lawrence last year in London and Doug Peterson. It was Trevor Lawrence's rookie year before that, but it was Urban Meyer, completely different people on each side of the ball. Can you go back to the playoff games? I mean, come on, that's Tyrod Taylor, that's Doug Marrone. Let's remember Josh Allen's rookie year. They did come here and they won. Although I do understand when you look on the other side and you see the Jaguars helmet and you go, oh my God, that team has had the Bills number. I get all that. And that's why fans would be apprehensive. I just don't think that what happened in 2017 or 2019 has any relevance at all to 2024. To beat this team, though, you're still going to have to play really good football. And if the Jaguars win, I don't think it's because the Jaguars certainly have some sort of Bills number. I think it's because they played a better game that night and they have some matchups they can, you know, try to take advantage of. The Bills are the better football team. They have the better quarterback. They're playing at home on Monday Night Football in front of a obviously hostile, raucous, whatever, incredible crowd. They have the advantage here. And what they need to do is just basically play their game that they've played for the last 2 weeks. Play the kind of defense they played the last 2 weeks. Do not allow, you know, the Jacksonville Jaguars offense to get the ball to their playmakers in space. Travis Etienne, you know, Gabe Davis is coming back here. We'll see about Evan Ingram, what his status is as the week goes on for the Jags. And the Bills have injuries they're dealing with. I think what really benefits the Bills here is obviously having the 11 days to get healthier, but also, guys, having 11 days to have a plan in place with Baylen Spector and Dorian Williams and, you know, if you're missing Taron Johnson, Cam Lewis, like everybody together. Remember, when that happened last Sunday, the opening week, you have the injury to Taron Johnson, and you have 4 days to kind of put that together. You really had to do it on the fly. And then you couldn't really do anything much different. They've had a chance to kind of step back, reset, take a look at what they want to do. And I think that's a big advantage for them going into this game.
Sal, last thing for me here. The Bills, following their game against Jacksonville, will head to Baltimore to take on maybe surprisingly 0-2 Ravens team, but they're not the only 0-2 team in the NFC or in the AFC North, I think, worth noting, the Cincinnati Bengals. Just real quick, you know, what do you make of both of their starts, both losing to teams I would say arguably they should not have lost to, and which team do you have more faith, I guess, to be there at the end to kind of rally? Because we've all seen the stats about teams that start the season 0-2 and making the playoffs. It's not a pretty picture, but both these teams do feel, I mean, way better than their winless record.
I'm sorry, you said Ravens and
Bengals.
Bengals. I wasn't high on the Bengals coming into the year. I just think that they lost some pieces on defense. I don't know how great their pass rush is. And then Joe Burrow, I'm just concerned about that wrist injury, although he looked really fantastic on Sunday, obviously. I mean, their number one running back is Zach Moss, right, after losing Joe Mixon. I mean, to me, the Bengals weren't a team that I really thought could take the next step or another step. It's kind of either plateau or go down. However, that said, I thought they played really well against the Chiefs. They surprised me. I thought they played well enough to win. Obviously, they had a play at the end where it didn't go their way. There was a pass interference. I get all that. So I'm feeling different today than I did going into the season about the Bengals, and they do have a very, very winnable schedule coming up. You guys go look at the Bengals' schedule coming up. The Bengals could win their like next 3, 4, 5 games or something like that. Like we could be talking about the Bengals, you know, like we have been the last several years after the next month. The opposite side, I felt a lot better about the Ravens. The one thing about the Ravens that nobody really talked too much about, and we should have been talking about, is all the changeover on their offensive line. They lost three starters, and it has not gone well to start the season on their offensive line. And we all know they don't have all these great weapons to throw to. It's like, to me, what I didn't like about them, it's coming to fruition. I mean, Derrick Henry, they're already a team that runs the ball. They go get a guy just to, run the ball a little better? It's never made sense to me. Like, they're already pretty good at it. I don't know what that really did for them, to be quite honest. And I'd be worried about the Ravens if I'm in Baltimore right now. Now they got to go to Dallas. That's a tough game. I think the Bengals are in a much better position than the Ravens going forward, given their schedule and what I've seen from the two.
All right, Sal, well, let's go get ready for practice. And, of course, Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff's comments here coming up in just a few minutes. Thanks, man. We'll talk to you later.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
That was Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. We are going to take a quick break here as we get ready for Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff's comments with the media. This is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We are waiting for the start of Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff's comments with the media, but we do have major news that does involve Western New York, even though it is a major sports breaking news, and that is ESPN reporter Adrian Wojnarowski. No more. He has announced his retirement after, I believe, 37 years in the industry. He spent his past 7 years with ESPN, and he's coming home. I think it's well known that Wojnarowski is an avid St. Bonaventure supporter. He is an alum. And with that, he is accepting the GM role with the Bonnies basketball program. That does, of course, involve NIL, name, likeness, and English, name, likeness, and image allocation.
Name, image, and likeness.
Yeah,
NIL. Yeah. You said name, likeness, and
NIL allocation, recruiting, all that. I mean, it's genuinely a general manager. Bonaventure, though, has been a program that has done very well with very, very limited resources in the Atlantic 10 Conference. And with him coming into the program, the results may not be immediate.
It's going to be exciting, though. I mean,
I'd be very surprised if this is not a major moment for St. Bonaventure. Again, limited resources. It is a very small school. I personally love it.
As you said, local, and that's
going to be really, really cool to see. Again, wonderful for him to kind of realize as well. He has a wonderful post on his Twitter page, kind of talking about time isn't forever. You want to do something that you are putting your full heart into. He wasn't feeling that anymore with reporting. But for his choice to not just really be retirement, but to help out now his alma mater, which I'm a huge St. Bonaventure basketball fan, I think that's going to be awesome. And now I desperately want to go back to Bonaventure to go see a game because the Riley Center is phenomenal. It is an old building that just gets rowdy real fast. The locals there are wonderful. It is a great time. If you haven't been, definitely try to go. If you're from the area too, try to go before the weather turns. But man, I'm very, very excited now for St. Bonaventure college basketball.
This move could be terrible. Don't get me wrong, but
yeah, but I mean,
I'd be very surprised if it was.
With the history of what Woj does for basketball,
yeah,
and just like the notoriety that brings in itself, I think that that is not to be taken lightly.
Yeah, and I mean, he's always been like a noted alum of Bonaventure. Always roots for him. A lot of times when like if he's ever brought on to talk college basketball, he always will say like "Go Bonnies" and stuff like that. Like it is a lot of fun. I'm very surprised though that like that's happening. It's absolutely wild. And they again they've done very, very well with very limited resources. Mark Schmidt has been a phenomenal coach there. Really brought the program back from the brink. They had NCAA violations and such when he got there. It was one of the worst programs in Division I men's college basketball. And since he has been there, Mark Schmidt's been there. He's been there since 2007-08. That was his first season. He's made three NCAA tournament appearances. He's made the NIT semifinal back in 21-22, and they just won 20 games last year. Very, very exciting moving forward for them. You hope, though, that like it's not a position where he's just kind of there as like the name and that they're not actually able to bring in the NIL resources I think they're going to need. But I also wonder, though, how much of the A-10 actually does have in terms of the NIL. I know the MAC is not necessarily a big NIL conference, that being the conference with UB. So we will see. Very, very excited, though. We are still waiting for Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff to join the media. Of course, the big news from today in terms of Sabres practice is the unknown on Rasmus Dahlin. He did leave after about 5-10 minutes. He was the first player on the ice, left, never returned. And it's kind of up in the air now. No one really even knows if he took a hit, if it was an injury or not. Right. Sal brought up, I think, correctly that maybe it was something personal, that like he had to leave and go take care of something. I hope it's not serious. But it has kind of left every Sabres fan sort of in bated breath of, all right, like, then what?
Okay, what's going on?
and it didn't help either that, you know, ultimately it didn't lead to anything. But Tage Thompson took a shot from Peyton Krebs early in practice, mm-hmm. and he was laboring, and it was just it was compounding of like, yeah, oh goodness. Right.
There's quotes from Alex Tuch. Our own Paul Hamilton has some up on his Twitter, a couple of them from his post practice press conference. Tuch said in past years they haven't been ready on day one, and that has to change this year. He also said that he came in with a chip on his shoulder, that he needs to be better. He said they need to push the guy next to them. So seems like a very team mentality of, hey, guys, let's get it going here. But again, I've heard this before. It needs to translate to on the ice. And if it's, if it's a team thing and if the coach is fully behind it, which I wonder if last year, was it a team thing and the coach wasn't behind it, so there was no accountability to hold the team to that standard? Mm-hmm. The team can only hold themselves to a standard for so long. I mean, you have to have – that's why the coach is there. You're there to
the quote-unquote adult has to kind of –
exactly, yeah. You're there to hold your team to that standard when they're not holding themselves to that. And of course, the captains are there for that too. But if the whole team is not bought into the same mentality, it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
But we've also heard in past years, oh, everyone's bought in. Everyone's here. Everyone's here for this reason.
Yeah.
Okay, prove it,
I guess,
please.
The thing, too, is like I look at Tuck's comments about, like, you know, we didn't always have it on day one. Today we did. And I'm like, I'm apprehensive with everything with the Sabres.
Oh, no. He's talking about day one of the season.
Oh, day one of the season.
Like the first game. He's saying we have to have that.
Okay.
Be ready the first day of the season rather than a couple weeks in.
So I was going to say, and I'm like, I get apprehensive with that because we saw last year that ultimately, I guess, the season effectively ended the first day of training camp because everyone kind of saw it's like, oh, they don't have it. You know, but yeah, they have a chip on their shoulder. He has a chip on his shoulder.
Tuck also said on just the first Lindy Ruff practice in general, quote, I looked up at the clock midway through and thought to myself, this is going to be a long day.
I feel like every athlete's been there.
Right. like the first practice of the year there. And you're like, oh. Like I can think back to
look up at the clock and go, no way.
I can think back to like soccer practices at the beginning of the year where it's like, yeah, we've just ran our third mile of the day and we're an hour into practice mm-hmm. and we have 2 hours to go and probably six more miles. Let's get it done. let's
make peace with whatever God you know and get through the day.
Yep.
But it's that's been something that I think Sabres fans have wanted. And then now you heard it at the end of last season, which is not that long ago. Sabres players wanted it. They wanted that accountability. And we heard Sabres GM Kevin Adams speak earlier today that it's one thing to say it. It's another thing when it's actually there, and are you going to kind of embrace it a little bit? And that's going to be something now to keep an eye on with them. We are going to take a quick timeout here. We're still waiting for Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff to speak with the media. We're going to take a quick timeout. This is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We are still waiting on Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff to speak with the media. Of course, many of us, if not all of us, are waiting with bated breath to hear an update on Sabres defenseman Rasmus Dahlin, who did leave practice very early into the practice. He was the first guy out there. Ultimately, no one really ever saw him leave or what happened. He was just kind of not there. And so, yeah, now it's kind of left a lot of us sort of on edge a little bit, just waiting to hear what's going on. This is a season that it's not as much hype as it was last year going into the year, but with Lindy being back, there is this feeling of, yeah, sort of know what was wrong, I guess, that it really could have been coaching. I was a big person that said it was coaching. But now, a Rasmus Dahlin injury 30 seconds into training camp, I mean, that's going to put a damper on this season very, very quickly. I mean, I am already somebody that I think coaching played a huge issue into it. If Jack Quinn just played like 75 games last year, 65 games last year, I think this might be a playoff team. I think he was that good when he was playing.
I mean, he was basically a point-per-game player.
He had
17 points in – or not 17 points. How many games did he play
I'm looking it up. He was in – 27 games last year, he had 19 points.
Yeah. Well, okay, that's not that close to point per game, but it's still, I mean, you almost have 20 points in 27 games coming off of an Achilles injury.
Yeah.
It's so I'm saying, like, really good.
If he just played 65 games.
Yeah. And you know, obviously it's not going to be that same pace throughout, but if you have a player coming off an injury like that and he plays, like you said, 65 games, puts up 50 points, that drastically changes the outcome of so many Sabres games.
Especially, you wouldn't have to change the lineup as much as you did.
Right.
He's ultimately there. You're working with it.
You're not trying to jumble the lines and figure out, oh, what's going to work, what's not going to work. It's something that I hope becomes a constant this season of he's here and he's fully healthy and he's back to what he was for the short period we had him last year. And it's just like, that's what the Sabres need. They need consistency. There's been so many injuries on both the forwards and the blue line over the past few years. I mean, look at Matias Samuelsson. He was looked to be a great shutdown defenseman, which the Sabres haven't had in years, and just gets injured, tries to play through it for a little bit, and then has to just ultimately miss the rest of the season, comes back, doesn't look like his normal self in terms of the defensive ability, mm-hmm. gets injured again, misses all of last year, almost. So as long as he can come back and be what he was 2 years ago, That makes that contract worth it, because don't forget, they signed him to a 7-year deal. Granted, it was only for 4.3, I think it was.
Yep.
But still, another guy that has a 7-year deal that's on this roster that needs to get back to where he was. That's kind of the recurring theme in terms of the younger players on this team. You have Tage Thompson, Dylan Cousins, Matias Samuelsson. Even if you want to look at Rasmus Dahlin, Dahlin's been great. But there's one more step I think you could ask him to take.
Mm-hmm.
And that's being the true leader. If he is going to be the captain, that's just the last bit of his evolution.
It's the last bit of his evolution. I think a lot of people, though, would want the consistent Norris player caliber.
Right, yeah. You know, but at the same time, the Norris sometimes doesn't mean anything to me. It's the most offensive defenseman.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
Because every year you'll have a great defenseman that's a true defenseman that's scoring points, yes, but look at their numbers in terms of their defensive zone, breaking down, all that stuff. That's what the Norris, it's the best defenseman. It's not the most highest scoring defenseman. I remember John Carlson won it because he had 102 points.
Paul talks about it all the time, where it's just like, it's kind of a weird award. It doesn't end up actually going to the best defenseman.
And I get it. It's hard to, you know, say who the best defensive defenseman is. But if you wanted to do that, you know, you give an award for the best defensive forward, give an award for the best offensive defenseman. Why not? I mean, there is already too many awards.
But I was going to say, there's a lot of awards.
There is a lot. But you could cut a few of them out. The William Jennings one, I don't know.
What's that one?
That's the one where they combine the two goaltenders. Like oh, these two this goaltending tandem had the best save percentage goals against average.
That feels very participation trophy worthy.
Yeah.
That does not feel great.
It's like you have one trophy for two people. Come on. You already have the Vezina. The best goalie.
Yeah. And it's the thing, yeah, like you just, especially with how defensemen have changed. Oh, and we do have Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff speaking with the media now.
With your players? Felt good to get out there. You know, we've been putting a lot of work in, and finally it was just an opportunity to get out with the group and watch, you know, the different drills, the compete drills, and just see these guys operate at ice level.
You know, Lindy, when you were skating around right before the start of practice, you've had the job for 5 months, but what was going through your head? I mean, you haven't practiced with this club in 11 years.
I'm just thinking about let's have one heck of a practice, really. Looking around at some of the size, you know, watching some of the speed, you know, even just those opening laps. You know, later on practice, the ice was pretty bad, you know, and it didn't look quite as good. But, you know, to start, I'd say it was a good feeling just getting back out.
Do you allow yourself to soak it in at all and kind of be nostalgic, or is it simply work?
No, it's just work right now. Really, it's moved on from that point and making sure that we're trying to cover off almost every detail so we put ourselves in a great place to be where we want to be at the end of the year.
When you get a new group that you're coaching, Lindy, do you try to early on in a camp like this to see how far you can push them?
Well, you know, I think if the focus on today was like a high compete, real high compete, a lot of individual battles, a lot of physicality. There was a couple drills that pushed them to the limit. You know, the practice, you know, some of the details inside, we had to slow up a little bit, which made the practice a little bit longer. We wanted to see the compete first. I think you can build your fitness in those compete, some of those up and down the ice for 5 minutes. That's a tough skate for them. So I was impressed. I liked the day. I liked the practice. I liked what the group did.
I'm sure that this practice is a bigger statement than anything you could have said to these guys yesterday. But what message did you really want to press upon them, you know, entering this camp, and what was at stake?
That from day one, we want to get better every day. That we want to put the work in. I want them to challenge each other to be better as a line, be better as a D pair. You know, we're going to play a little bit different, so I want them to get comfortable with, you know, some of the breakouts and how quick we want to play and getting out of our zone quicker. So with the group really was just bring energy, bring enthusiasm, get better from day one to the last day of the year.
What was the reason for Darlene's departure?
Darlene I'll just say this. I've got no update, but it was just one of those things. You're passing a puck and, you know, something happened. So, you know, precaution got him off. He's going to get looked at, and then we'll find out what's going on.
Upper, lower?
Kind of mid-range, I think.
Physicality out there.
I gotta tell you right now, it wasn't lower. So,
some of the physicality out there. We saw Krebs kind of bump Thompson into the boards there. We saw, you know, lots of guys working along the boards. Do you like seeing that kind of physicality?
There is some non-negotiables. Some of that physicality is something that we need to end plays. We got to become a better team at stalling plays and getting out of the zone in a hurry. And a lot of those can be done by eliminating the first man. So we're going to work hard at that part of the game.
You stopped the drill and kind of corrected the guys about going offside. Was it important even the first day that you just right away you get on them in a good way?
And no bad habits. You know, whether that's using your hand in some of the D zone, you know, or hooking, but I mean, the obvious is if we're going to see a penalty, I'm gonna stop the play. We want good habits. The one thing I don't like is that I don't like careless penalties. I think it's one thing that we get to control. So whether it's a free hand, whether it's, you know, tugging when you're hooking, use your legs to back check. Don't use your stick.
What was it like to first practice the first day of camp to have your NHL team? It's out of necessity because of your schedule, but you've probably never had that.
I've never had that before. Put a lot of thought into that. There's a part of that kind of tears into the heartstrings of all these young kids that get to come in, and you know, you mix them in with the NHL veterans, and it's the, you know, kind of a thrill of a lifetime. But there is a greater need to get this group together really quick and understand how we need to play and some of the puck decisions we need. And to compete, I wanted to see was NHL against NHL. I want to see, you know, guys that had a lot of games under their belt competing against other guys that have a lot of games under their belt. You know, I think sometimes the compete gets distorted when you're, you know, first year guys or second year guys who are, you know, just starting to mature have to play against the, you know, the fourth, fifth year type of players.
What do you see with Samuelson on film? What do you think you have there? I know he's had trouble staying healthy. What do you think you have there?
Big, strong, heavy defender. That's hard to play against, that can really help us on a night-to-night basis defensively. Plays hard and plays the game the right way. I think he was dearly missed here. Not knowing him, but, you know, watching some of the film, watching early when he was in games, that's what I see.
Kulik was out there, you know, with this group. What did you see over the weekend, and what did you see now that he's up against
anything? He had a real impressive prospect tournament. At first, from just work ethic alone, I thought was really good. He's got a great shot, skates well. I thought his compete inside the game was good. He did a lot of great things. He was the guy you noticed the most. And I'm not even looking at the offensive side of it. I mean, he's got a bullet for a shot, which, you know, you can't teach that. You have it or you don't, and he's got it. But, you know, play at this level. Can you play away from the puck? Can you skate with him? His skating, I was impressed with his skating. I was impressed with his level of strength, you know, in one-on-one battles and keeping guys at bay, too. So, very impressive young man.
What was the best thing about being out there today?
That I didn't get hurt. I almost got hurt, but it's just, you know, to get a gauge on how big and how fast we are, really. Even to watch, you know, a Lafferty and a Mellenstein and those type of guys. You know, you can sometimes watch it on video and you get a read, but when you get on the ice, you get to see it firsthand.
What were your first thoughts seeing Beck up close? I mean, you've played against him, but just seeing him up close, what did you notice?
Who are you talking about?
Beck, I'm sorry.
What's that?
Beck Mellenstein.
Oh, yeah. I just, you know, he's a really hard competitor. Like, he makes people pay a price. If you're going to move a puck and he's near you, he's going into your heart. And he's got a really good burst skating, so he can get to you. I mean, it's one thing to be able to be physical, but he can get to you, and he knows how to hit.
What do you think, I mean, the game's changed a lot, but what do you think the importance of guys like Mellenstein, Lafferty, Obergefell, what that can do, you know, for the overall team?
Well, it can wear the opposition out. It's a lot of times the opposition go, not those guys again. You know, it can help in heavy schedules, back-to-back games where there's a lot of times you need four lines. You know, you shorten up the length of shifts, and that line gives you 25 seconds of high energy. Not saying that will be the line, but that's the line that we're looking at right now. It's an element that I think other teams will be aware of. When you can send out a group like that that can get down low, hang on the pucks, and physically fend you off. And they're good skaters. I mean, Lafferty is a tremendous skater, too, at the same time.
Last year was the first year Lukanen was able to. We saw him play 54 games, and that's the first time he's done it in the NHL.
What are your thoughts on your goaltenders? I mean, if he's going to do that again, is that enough time for Devin? Or would you like to pull him back a little and have Devin play?
You know, Paul, I don't have the answer to that right now. I think the answer will become, you know, what happens during the play, how they play, how UPL is still playing, how Devin plays when he steps in. I think, you know, that'll dictate how many games. I really feel it, for the most part, we've become a two-goaltender league. For Devin's development, obviously he needs to play. So, you know, I think we'll have to weigh that as the season unfolds.
What was your first impression of the group? Obviously, you're trying to make an impression on them, but what was the impression you got from them?
I thought they worked incredibly hard today. I thought they, you know, we had a meeting before we went out. I thought they gave me everything they had. And like I said, we want this to be a highly competitive 2 days. You know, working a lot of, you know, D-zone and tracking, trying to become a better defensive team and trusting where people are going to be. So I thought the details for what we were trying to do were good, and they executed well. Thank you.
There was Buffalo Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff there meeting with the media. Not really much of an update, though, on Sabres defenseman Rasmus Dahlin ultimately calling it, I believe, a mid-body injury. Definitely not lower.
Yeah. Well, and Paul tweeted it out right here. Lindy Ruff says that Dahlin was passing the puck and something happened, so they got him off as a precaution.
Mm-hmm.
Getting him off as a precaution is one thing. Off as a precaution for the entire practice, just because he was, I don't know. It's...
I don't feel great.
I don't...
Mainly because nothing has changed.
I mean, we're going to know more, obviously, tomorrow. If he practices tomorrow, well, then we're fine. Yeah. But
he's going to be assessed. It was precaution. We were mentioning it there when he was talking because we were sort of discussing it.
Yeah.
He did say it, I don't want to say in a jovial manner, but, you know...
He kind of chuckled a little bit, though. He joked a little bit. You don't... If your star defenseman gets hurt in the first day of practice and it's not something that you think is super serious, you're not going to...
I would say even joking just about past
it. Not even player. Not that he was joking about it, but it was that chuckle doesn't just happen.
I would even go past star player, likely captain.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I mean, that's something that's still to be announced. I'm sure they'll announce it.
I think it was I think Adam said something or I saw somewhere somebody said it was like during Europe they were probably going to announce it.
Okay.
The European trip. So we'll see on that.
It was a quote mid range. Injury.
Thank you. Because that helps everybody.
And he also said it was definitely not lower body. So
it's the most details we got on the injury.
Hey, I mean,
is that it's definitely not lower body.
It's not a high ankle sprain.
It's a fair point, actually.
It's not the Jack Eichel injury. But also, I mean, look at it this way, right? A lot of what Alex Tuch had to say was, yeah, today was really hard. You're tired and stuff. And that's a lot of what Lindy Ruff was just saying there. Getting the guys out there, getting them active and getting them up to speed. And focusing on the fitness and things like that. If you have a potential, as he called it, mid-body, mid-range injury in something with like the core or something like that, if you have something like that with Dahlin where it's minor and you're pushing him on the ice,
it could make it worse. Yeah.
So it's like a, hey, we know we're going to go pretty hard today.
No reason for you to be out here right now with that.
Right, exactly. So that's kind of the
it's a positive way to look at
it. The optimistic spin I'm trying to take on it. The other spin is, well, we have no idea what's going on.
It's probably near, if not fully, the correct way to look at it.
Yeah.
Again, I think it's fair to look at the jovial nature in which he was sort of discussing it. But, yeah, no real update on it. With that being said, though, he seemed to be pretty happy with where practice went today. Very happy with Jiří Kulík.
Yeah, I mean, I love the way he talked about like the shooting and the off the puck stuff. I mean, that sounds like what
he could have talked about his shot for like an hour.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, but that's how everyone's talked about Jiří Kulík since he's been drafted. Yep. So it's good to see that that's still there because I was one that was starting to worry, is this kind of a part of his game that's disappearing as he goes up the levels, right? As he goes up closer towards the NHL, because there were times last year in the AHL where he did have spells of, you know, missing or not scoring. I mean, he would obviously go on you know, these rampages of scoring like 6-7 games in a row.
Yeah.
But then he would just disappear for a while. Mm-hmm. And to me, that was something that was a little worrying. But if, you know, if he's looking at it here in the prospects challenge, saying, you know, one-on-one battles and skating off the puck along with the shooting, all that's coming to fruition, then I think that that's something that's very important in terms of the role they're going to need him to play this year and then also moving forward. If yeah. he does, in fact, make that opening night roster. And I mean, it sounds like this team that was practicing with Lindy today, the blue team, as they called it, it sounds like that team's the one that's going to Europe.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, and Kulik was out there, obviously.
Kulik was out there. I'm wondering, we were talking about it before the show even started, I'm wondering if they're putting him in a position of, quote unquote, you're on the team until you prove that you're not on the team.
Right.
I do wonder if that's sort of what this training camp is going to be for him. Again, not being in practice, very much going off of what the first roster is. I do wonder if that's what they're thinking with Kulik is, we're going to push you. You're on the team right now
yeah.
until you prove you can't be. You can't be there opening night. Also mentioned Devin Levi. I thought that was something of note as well, especially I think many of us have mentioned, you know, he's a guy, he's a coach, one goaltender.
Dominic Hasek,
and he works him into the ground yeah. kind of deal. And he outright mentioned, he goes, it's a two goaltender league.
Yeah, I think that was, I mean, that was something that Kevin Adams said as well. So mm-hmm. it's good that they're in lockstep there. I just hope that that's the sort of mentality that can stay there. Then that like with, not with the coaches and the management, but more so with Devin Levi and yeah. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. I mean, you know, Levi seemed to be the type of goaltender that would want that. You know, I'm going to play 60 games a year,
mm-hmm.
right? And that sort of goaltending style. But if the way they're trending is, no, we want two goalies. We want to rotate them. We want, you know, kind of
we want
50-50 split.
Fresh guys out right. there most nights.
Which is fine, but I got to wonder if it ever gets to the point where we got to ride the hot hand and the old, you're our guy until you're not.
Well, and that does come into what Lindy also said, too, though, about Levi, which is he has to play.
Right, exactly.
He needs game time.
To be fair, too, I mean, it's even past the Sabres, right? I mean, mm-hmm. you look at all of the other places he's been in his career. He did this in Dallas. He tried to do it in New Jersey, but he didn't really have the ability to because of the goaltenders that were there. So I think maybe this is one of the areas you see how, you know, early 2000s Lindy is going to be different from early 2020s.
Yeah,
Lindy. So it's going to be interesting to see where that goes. But again, I think it very much hinges on what UPL and Levi can do early on in the season.
It's going to be a lot of fun. That's going to be definitely something to keep an eye on as well. And that's maybe I think the thing I took away most from this press conference.
Yeah.
Is the comments about Devin Levi. I was right. somebody I was kind of on board of like he's probably going to play in Rochester, and I'd honestly prefer it. I'm in lockstep of he needs game time rather than
yes,
he's just on the Sabres.
If you can get him game time, like if there's a path to get him game time in the NHL, you do it.
You do it, yeah, 100%.
And that's where I think he as a goaltender is at because of the way he's been perceived as a prospect and in terms of his development so far, if there's a way to get him game time in the NHL, you do it until it mm-hmm. doesn't work. It's the same thing with... I mean, it's a little bit to a lesser extent, but it's the same thing with Kulik. If you can get him into the NHL, you keep him there until it doesn't work out for you, until he's, you know, showing signs of, all right, we got to get this kid a break, right?
Yeah.
And that's just kind of where it's at. I mean, Levi is 22, so it's not like the clock is ticking by any means.
No, he's not 25, 26, and you're like, right. this is now
Luukkonen,
a missed
on the
prospect.
Other hand, yes. is 25.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of have, but again, goalies are different. Goalies are like wine. They age. They get better with age. So you have to be precautious here in terms of if Levi doesn't work out so right away, it's not the end of the road. He's still 22.
Yep.
He has time.
803-0550, the number to call. How are we feeling about the Sabres as training camp practice begins today? Again, not really too much of an update on Rasmus Dahlin, but it is also, it could be taken as one of those things of no update is a good update, I guess, in that sense. It does seem to be a mid-range injury. That coming from Lindy Ruff, happened early on in practice, just passing the puck, and ultimately they took him off the ice as more of a precaution. And as Josh did mention as well, they had a hard practice. It could have been much more along the lines of no reason to push it. We'll see how you're feeling tomorrow. Again, 803-0550, the number call. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here until 12 o'clock. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
The focus on today was like a high compete, real high compete. A lot of individual battles, a lot of physicality. There was a couple drills that pushed him to the limit. Practice, you know, some of the details inside, we had to slow up a little bit, which made the practice a little bit longer. We wanted to see the compete first. I think you can build your fitness in those compete, some of those up and down the ice for 5 minutes. That's a tough skate for him. So I was impressed. I liked the day. I liked the practice. I liked what the group did.
There was Buffalo Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff just a few minutes ago with the media. And you are listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach Jones and Josh Mint. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. High compete practice went a little longer. They had to call back some of the drills as well. Saw a lot of media members talking about how impressed they were with that or how happy they were that that was happening.
Just the accountability part of that.
That is going to be the word of the
season.
That's
the base. If you want to talk about quote-unquote accountability,
mm-hmm.
him just simply calling back a drill because you're offside, that's like the base level.
Yep, 100%. And
I think that's going to go miles in terms of, you know, just getting the little – and he also talked about, like, the careless penalties, right?
Mm-hmm.
He had a lot of, like, good, like, just hockey dude quotes in that. Of back check with your legs, not your stick.
You get excited for that, and I roll my eyes because I'm just like, all right, here we go with the cliches.
I don't know why I get excited for that, but it's just like, you know, if that leads to success on the ice, you're going to...
Oh, no, 100%. 100%.
You know, but again, it's all, you know, cheesy cliches, but at the end of the day, if they work out in the right way, if they succeed in what they're trying to get the players to do, then who cares? Be as cheesy as you want. Hang a... You know, motivational poster of a cat in the locker room if you need to. I don't care. Just find a way to win.
I find myself getting very, very frustrated. And we've talked about this off air and on air of just like, this team had professional hockey coaches for not just Granato, but for years, and they just couldn't do the most basic things correctly.
Right.
And we find ourselves getting excited because they are doing the basic things at all. And that to me is a frustrating place to be. I get it. It's not abnormal for that. I do understand that. For years, we were talking about that with the Bills of, I don't know, guys, send people to actually scout college players instead of just their tape. You know, like stuff like that. I get it. But but I am in a spot, too, of like, I mean, if you just did like the basic things for years, you probably aren't in the spot you were in or now in for 13 years. I'm not saying you were winning a cup or winning a playoff series, but we're probably looking at maybe a 4 or 5 year playoff drought. You had a year or two there mixed in where it's like, hey, they made it. It really shouldn't have.
Right.
But it was a good growth period, and that's why they're here now where, yeah, it has been 13 years of garbage, and it has been long enough for a lot of players who are young in the NHL going, I literally do not remember the Sabres being a good hockey team.
Well, that's the thing, too, is, I mean, someone tweeted out that Konstantelainis, the newest draft pick of the newest first-round draft pick of the Sabres, he was born during the 05-06 Cup run.
Oh boy! Wow,
like that's that's crazy.
Yeah, that's the thing is, it's not even just bringing up the last time they made the playoffs. It is just straight up when they were very good.
May 11th, 2006 is his birthday.
Oh wow, that's
that's like, you know, the Sabres are beating. If it was May, who'd it be? Probably be like the second round.
Yeah, is this 05-06?
Yeah,
yeah. So the Senators.
Yeah.
That might be the end of Ottawa.
Yeah, the end of Ottawa, beginning of Carolina.
Yep, Carolina. Yeah,
right.
But just, I don't know, and it is going to be bad on me, but I this is why I bring it up, just for context of like, I need to see it on the ice. I need to see it on game days. For me to be fully bought in, it really at all anymore now, because I've gotten burned now a few times by this team of just being like, good job, guys.
Yeah, right.
Like, great. This is awesome. So I'm so thrilled. I spent money to go here, got excited, got the goosebumps video.
It once again looks fantastic on paper, but once you put it into action,
here we are.
Yeah.
Helenius was born on game 4, Sabres, Senators.
No.
Wow.
Right at the end of the series. Let's go to the phones here. We've got Paul in Buffalo on the line. Paul, good morning. How are we doing today?
Guys, it never ceases to amaze me how lovey-dovey the relationship between the Sabres beat reporters and Kevin Adams is. This is a guy who in 5 years has dissipated an absolute dragon's treasure hoard of draft picks and prospects to build a roster that we hope can be the eighth seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs. And not one person bothered to ask him why Beck Malenstein wasn't offer sheeted. Because if you look at all the parameters, we could have offer sheeted him to the exact contract he already signed with us at the no compensation tier. And at the time, the Capitals were $10 million over the cap. So we gave them the 43rd overall pick just because we're so successful in Buffalo and we have extra draft picks. And Paul Hamilton won't bring it up. Lance Lysowski won't bring it up. Mike Harrington won't.
All right, Paul. Thanks for the call. I get it. I know. Every time you call in, Kevin Adams is the worst disaster that's ever happened to the Sabres. I get it. No one offers sheets in the NHL. I'm sorry. The league does not like doing it. I don't understand
it. The Oilers doing, or the Blues doing two in one day was literally revolutionary.
News. It was literally news that they had offer sheeted anybody.
Yeah. And granted, there were two very good players. But
and a treasure trove of draft picks. We don't see that many trades in the NHL.
Yeah. Right.
The best thing to do with those draft picks was to create a treasure trove of prospects to build up a young roster. Mm-hmm. Yes, that you hope will be, the eighth seed, which if they hit like they did a few years ago and have competent goaltending, they'll be one of the better teams in the Eastern Conference. They were scoring at an unbelievable pop, and they just couldn't get saves.
And if you want to talk about, you have all these prospects, Matthew Savoy was used in a trade for Ryan McLeod.
Which I get, you know.
But you don't know what you're going to get out of Ryan McLeod. You don't know what you get about Matt Savoy.
Well, not even that, but I think that's another point, too. Stop overvaluing prospects and picks.
Yeah, right.
And it's not just a Sabres fandom thing. I think that's an NHL and really any kind of prospect fandom thing
right.
in sports.
Because
it can go to baseball as well. Just because you think this prospect is good, look what Matthew Savoy was. I mean, when he was drafted, he's Danny Briere, regen.
Right.
That's who he is. In reality, he's an undersized, but probable winger rather than center. And yeah, you get a solid two-way guy who's fast to come over here.
Injury potential.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is.
Because that's what he suffered throughout most of his time in the juniors. But
I've mentioned it. Adams, I'm up and down on. I think he's botched one offseason. Outside of that, I think he's done great in terms of rebuilding credibility with the Sabres, rebuilding them at all being able to draft. This is a team that for almost over a decade could not draft past the first and second overall pick. He got to that point where we're actually getting excited about second, third round prospects coming in. He missed 2 years ago in terms of just staying the course, keep the young team, don't want to take up too many spots. That's what that was. It was a miss. I don't disagree. But to act like he is the worst thing ever and that it's a joke now that he's not being put to the fire, which, cool, that doesn't happen in press conferences. Like, newsflash to a lot of fans, that does not happen anywhere. You will not be given press credentials. You can ask some hard questions, and yes, sometimes it gets to a point where every question is a hard question, but we're not really there. It doesn't happen all that much. It just doesn't. I get it can be frustrating, but I see it all the time on Twitter and on YouTube comments and even just with some fans where it's just like, well, they keep asking them. They're not going to answer it. You're not going to get the answer you want. You're just going to be left frustrated. So why ask? What's the point? They've put themselves in, well before Adams got here, they put themselves in this position and they're trying desperately to crawl out of it. You have a league that has no trade clauses. You can't just go and get superstars because you have all these draft picks. Do we want them to make a trade just to make a trade? Even if it's bad, if it's terrible, do we want them to spend a ton of money just on players just because, well, you haven't spent to the cap? Do it. Sure, we're going to be here again. I actually do kind of like where their offseason went. Rebuild the bottom six. Make that a tough group to play against. You said it. I mean, with Lindy Ruff, we were in the break of like, make that a unit that when they come out on the ice, the opposing team's going, oh my gosh, like these crazy people again.
You haven't had that since... when you barely had it in around 2016, when you had Okposo and Gergensen's, hey, look, there's a recurring theme, and Johan Larsson. I mean, that was the line that was kind of that version of it, but that's the closest you got, and they weren't even really that good.
Yeah.
That's something you haven't had since, and again, it's a changing league. It's times are changing in terms of what players will do in certain scenarios and certain, you know, roles on the ice, but... You haven't had that sort of style since the early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
And you haven't had that.
You've been a very top-heavy roster.
Right.
That is, at a lot of the times,
it's two guys who, okay, if they don't do it, well, I guess we're going to hope for one goal.
Which is where,
it went from Eichel and Reinhart to Eichel and
Skinner,
and then Reinhart was still there, but you just didn't really know what to expect out of him because he was on your second line half the time. And then it went to, all right, now it's Tage. What's Tage going to do?
It's just, for me, a lot of it, and again, I think it all comes back to drafting. This team was abysmal at drafting. They could do
for 10 years.
They could do the first and second overall pick, and that was about it.
Yeah.
Now, again, somebody, as much as I've defended him, I guess, now in this segment, if they don't make the playoffs this year, I think you should fire Kevin Adams. I think you should. And that's fine. That's understandable. Well, I think even Kevin Adams' attitude kind of points to he thinks this is it.
In the season, because,
sure,
yes, this offseason there wasn't many big moves, but what they did, if it works out throughout the season and they don't make the playoffs, it depends on, can you make moves in season?
Mm-hmm.
Will you try to make moves in season to improve your team? There's so many intangibles that go in throughout the season itself where once you're halfway through the year, the offseason doesn't matter unless it's really, really bad or really, really good.
Yep.
If it's midway through, if it's a middling thing, you have to be able to go out and make a move that makes your team better.
Yep. Let's go back to the phones here. We've got Glenn on the line. Glenn, good morning. How are we doing today?
Hi, good morning, guys. Hey, I just have one question. I don't follow hockey all that much, but boy, when I listen to you guys, we talk about regression a lot. Mm-hmm. Why is that okay in hockey and not okay? We don't talk about it in basketball or football. Mm-hmm. Can you help me understand that?
I think a lot of it, Glenn. Thanks for the call, man. Basketball is a little bit different. They probably should talk about regression more, but a lot of it actually comes down to with basketball. Those guys that are now coming out of high school or they're 1 year in college, a lot of them won't actually play all that much in the first few years outside of the first, second, third overall pick. Right. With hockey, I think it's sort of the same thing. It's young guys. They're 18 years old. They're still developing into their bodies, the whole thing. Where with the NFL, you're more often than not, drafting 21, 22, 23-year-olds.
And they're coming in and playing right away.
And they've had 4 years of college football or 3 years of college football, what have you, where with a lot of these players, it is up and down on where they actually played.
Yeah.
You know, it could have been overseas. It could have been in the OHL. You know, it would have
and you. Also have, you have those players that return to those teams, like Matthew Savoy, Dylan Cousins. These players, Zach Benson's one of the few players out of the last few years and one of the only players to not be in the top five that has played for his team right away.
Yeah, and so ultimately to the main point, why we talk about regression, it's truly just because it's not a straight line for a lot of these guys. It is up and down. It is, you know, they're moving around a lot on different lines, different teammates, what have you.
It's not in football. It's you're here, and if you don't work, well, see ya. If you do work, cool, you're in the lineup. Mm-hmm. With hockey and even with basketball, it's, all right, well, you look good in this area. You got to work on this. Have fun in your junior team. We'll talk to you in a year.
And basketball doesn't even really do that.
If you go to
the G League, you're essentially not even a player. You're hoping and praying you become a bench guy.
That's where basketball and football are a little different or a little similar in terms of, you know, the importance of getting in there right away.
Yeah.
But with hockey, you have a long time to – you have a big leash, essentially, to kind of prove yourself.
Yep.
And that's where you can have a player go from something to nothing and then back to something again, which we've seen many times.
803-0550 is the number to call. Mark, hang on the line. We'll get to you after a quick timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We are getting connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. And we now go back to the phone. So we've got Mark on the line. Mark, good morning. How are we doing today?
Hey, I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Doing very well.
I was actually encouraged today by Lindy Ruff. I'm taken back to Casey Mittelstadt's comments when he went over to Colorado, saying that after his first practice that he hadn't skated that much. And I'm thinking, well, what the heck are we doing? You know, that was kind of my feeling, and I was encouraged by a hard skate today. But going to football real quick, I'd love to see a Tyler Bass walk-off Monday night. I'm just throwing that in there. I know it's not on topic, but my gosh, if there's anyone that needs it, it's this guy, right?
But it would definitely help the vibes. It would feel good.
Hey, what's a good time to get there on Monday? My buddies are telling me noon, And my girlfriend's just not happy about it. She's working, so I don't know how to squeeze that one in there, but I'm going to have to listen to you guys. Thanks, boys.
Thanks for the call, Mark. I mean, noon's not a bad call. Remember, it is starting earlier than most other Monday Night Football
7:15.
Yeah, it's an hour earlier. It is a Monday Night doubleheader. Cincinnati-Washington is the other game. Noon, I mean, if you want to tailgate, that's probably the right answer is noon.
Yeah, if you're not tailgating, though.
Probably still like 4?
Yeah. 4, maybe 5.
It's going to be earlier.
The traffic is the one thing you want to plan for. Like, that's the tough part is if you want to be walking in like at like 6:30, let's say.
Yeah.
You're going to want to give yourself enough time to get to the stadium. So you're going to want to like plan to be there at 4. Like,
yep.
Leave your house, depending on where you live, leave your house like you want to get there at like 4:30.
Yep.
Even though you're going to probably get there at like 6:30.
Only thing though, just I will say on Tyler Bass, sure, I'd love it for his like confidence and fans' confidence in him. If they have to walk off the Jacksonville Jaguars, I'm not in a good spot.
The
for,
whole
like,
time
two
that
and a half
ball
hours.
Is in the air, even though it would probably only be about like 3 seconds total at the most.
An eternity.
I would,
it's an eternity.
It would not be good for my mental health.
I'm telling you. And we talked with Sal Capaccio earlier today as well, because the Bills are kind of starting their game week today. And you know, he's a big proponent of like not looking back at the past. I am the exact opposite. I almost look at the past too much. And so, yeah, like, sure, Tyrod versus Blake Bortles, that happened yesterday in my mind. Like, so, like, I am the person that sees the Jaguars helmet and just is like the meme of the soldier in war having just like the big bug-eyed. Like, that's me whenever I see the Jaguars coming up. I do not like playing them. It always devolves into a terrible game. They're always a really bad team. The Bills are at worst okay, and it never goes well. The only time I'm now remembering that, like for me personally, it felt good was the Allen versus Ramsey rookie year, in which Allen had I would still argue his best throw to Robert Foster as he's getting like just crunched in the pocket, like a 60-yard bomb.
Yeah.
That still have zero idea how it got there. Easily one of the best throws, if in my opinion, his best throw of his career. That's going to do it for me and Josh today. We'll be back on tomorrow, as that'll be our last stop of the week. So we'll kind of give our predictions for the NFL week coming up. But after a short timeout, sticking with hockey, as Sabres Live will join you next after a quick timeout. This is WGR.